So we're going to go ahead and hop right in to this word. I'm going to pray, then we're going to do it. All right, so Father, Jesus, we bless you. Thank you, Papa. Jesus, we thank you for your presence that's already in this place. But God, right now I ask for an increase of your presence. I ask for an increase of your spirit. Father, I thank you for a fresh anointing in this room tonight. God, I thank you, God, that you're breaking lies off tonight, God, that truth, God, is taking its place. God, you said in your word that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you also said that the truth will set you free. So, Father, I thank you tonight, God, that truth, God, is setting us free in this place. Father, I pray for fresh eyes, God. God, new eyes, Jesus, new lenses, Father. We love you, God, and we bless you. And in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Man, I want somebody to say, I need a new prescription. Somebody say prescription. So tonight I want to start this new series called I Need a New Prescription. And how many of you guys wear glasses, you wear contacts, you wear bifocals, you wear something to help out your eyesight so that you can see? All right, something to help out your eyesight that you can see. And so how many of you guys have ever gotten an eye exam before? Pretty much everybody in here, right? And so you know about the demonic process of an eye exam, right? Like, you go to the doctor, then they walk you in this super sketch room, right? It has, like, all these, like, this weird, crazy chair with this lens thing on it that's bigger than your head. And you're just like, what is this thing, right? Then they make you stare at in this machine where this red dot and, like, this farmhouse in the distance. And you're like, I think I've seen this in a horror movie somewhere. It's weird. And then they make you. They have the audacity. The audacity to make you sit on that machine thing that blows the air in your eyes. Like, are you serious? And then they say, try not to blink. Are you serious right now? Are you serious? Try not to blink. You just want to slap them. You just want to slap them. Right? And so I do not enjoy the process of going in and getting my contacts renewed or my glasses prescription renewed. In fact, you know, to be honest with you guys, I hate it so much, I just completely avoid it most of the time. How many of you guys have ever gotten a bad prescription before? You guys have ever gotten a bad prescription before? Well, if you've never gotten a bad prescription before, let me tell you what happens is that I remember there was this time, right, where once again, I hate going to the eye doctors, getting an eye exam. And so I had run out of contacts, right? And after like driving two or three times and almost dying, I said, man, like I really need to be able to see as I'm driving. You know, like in just in life in general, I think that's a good idea to be able to see where I'm going. And so I remember I was like rummaging through my house trying to find stuff. And I found this pair of glasses that was like 6, 7 years old. Right, they were all scratched up and messed up, and I was like, they'll do. You know what I mean? And so I remember I put them on, right? And at first, man, everything was good. I mean, like, it wasn't the right prescription, though. Like, my vision had changed, and it was a little weird. But, like, at first, it was okay, right? I mean, at first, I was used to it. You know what I mean? So I was going, and all of a sudden, like, I had to start squinting to see stuff. I was like, oh, gosh. And then all of a sudden, I got like these pounding headaches. And I didn't know where they were from. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what is going on, right? And so now like I'm walking around like this through my house like, oh, God, what's wrong with me? Like, I should have went to the eye doctors. That's what I get for trying to be cheap. But the truth is that it began to impair my vision. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, impair. Somebody say impair. You see, now your eyes are super sensitive, and when you have a wrong prescription, it can impair your vision. What do I mean by impair? Impair means to make worse or less effective, to damage or to spoil. To make worse or less effective, to damage or to spoil. You see, a bad prescription leads to a false view. Hear me tonight. A bad prescription leads to a false view of the world around you, right? Because guess what? If your eyes get messed up, even worse, then things get a little blurry all of a sudden. You know, things get a little blurry, then it gets worse and worse, and now you're starting, and now you can't make out what's this and what's that, right? And you're like, oh man, my vision is so messed up. Trust me, I've had it happen to me before. Is that my vision got impaired? Is that it led to a false view of the world around me? And when I live, or when you live with your vision impaired, is that you don't see the world around you right. Right? You don't see it right. You know, when you have messed up vision, you don't see it right. You know, in fact, how many of you guys have ever been to driver's ed before? Have ever been in driver's ed before? How many of you guys have ever, right, you were in driver's ed and they took you to that portion where they put the drunk goggles on you? You know what I'm talking about? Where they purposely, like, make you feel like what it means to be drunk, right? And they tell you to walk through this obstacle course while you're wearing these drunk glasses. And so you're going, right? And all the guys at first, like, man, I got this. I can handle this, right? And so usually, like, the toughest guy goes first. And so he puts on the drunk glasses and he's like, man, this is kind of weird, you know? And so he starts going, right? He starts walking straight. Then all of a sudden he's like, this is so strange. I can't see anything right all of a sudden. What's going on? Like, go the other way. I am going the other way. You know? Is that why can't they walk in a simple straight line? Because their vision's impaired. Because their vision's impaired. Right? I was going to, like, order some and set up a little obstacle course tonight, but I thought of the idea way too late. But here's the truth, guys, is that there are so many Christians living with an impaired vision of themselves. Hear me tonight. There are so many Christians living with an impaired vision of themselves. You know, in fact, I think if we're honest in this room tonight, for most of us, our worst enemy is the mirror. Right? For most of us, for everybody but Paul, it's a mirror, right? Is that a mirror? Is anything that gives reflection? And I have a challenge for you guys tonight. If everyone could bust out their phone, I want you to bust out your phone. I want you to turn on your camera. If you don't have a phone, pretend like you got one. All right? Turn on the camera. Now, I want you to turn it to where you can see yourself. Turn on your camera and turn it to where you can see yourself. Now listen. I want everyone to be quiet. Shh. Let the spirit of setup settle. Now listen, I want you to look at yourself tonight. And I want you to ask yourself the honest question. Can you tell or can you say 10 good things that you like about yourself? Some of y'all are like, no problem, baby. No problem, baby. Hunter's like, I got this. All right, focus. Focus. Bring it back in tonight. You see, for some of us, obviously not all of us, because some of us seem really confident in this room, which is awesome. But for some of us, it's when I look in the mirror. This is really short. When I look in the mirror, for some of us, I mean, I hate what I see. Right? Is that I hate what I see? Is that when I look in the mirror, it reminds me of what I'm not. Right, it reminds me of what I'm not. Is that I say, man, I wish I looked like so-and-so. I wish I was skinny like her. Man, I wish I could gain more weight. Man, I wish I had bigger muscles like him. Is that for so many of us, the mirror reminds us of who we're not. Right? Man, I wish I had their body. I wish I had their nose, their ears. Man, I hate that I have freckles. Freckles, not friends, freckles. Come on, yo. Come on. Listen, and for some of us, man, when I look in the mirror, it reminds me of all the mistakes that I've done. Right? I look in the mirror, and all I see is shame and regrets and past mistakes. And so some of us, man, we can't stand to look in the mirror because it just reminds us of who we used to be. And when I look in the mirror, sometimes all I see is what other people say about me. Come on, all I see is the words that were used to tear me down. All I see is, man, you're stupid. Man, you'll never amount to anything. You're not good enough. You're not able. Man, you're dumb. Won't you ever get it? So when I look in the mirror, man, that's what I see. Is that for many of us, is that the mirror is our least favorite place to go. For some of us, apparently it's not, which is good. So, but I found, listen, this is what I found. I found that most people don't know how to love themselves. Hear me tonight. Most people don't know how to love themselves. Listen, do you love yourself? I was like, yes. Man, why am I preaching this message then? Listen to this. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says this. It says, one of the teachers of the religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. Next verse, please. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody say yourself. Somebody say yourself. Somebody say yourself. No commandment is greater than these. You see, Jesus here, he tells us that the two greatest commandments is that, I mean, he sums up the law of Moses, I mean, is that the law of all the prophets, is that Jesus sums up the Bible into two statements. He says, if you do these two things, is that you got it right. Number one is this, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And number two is this, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody say yourself. Somebody say yourself. See, so what does this verse have anything to do with loving God, loving people, or any of that stuff like that? And see, I found this to be true, is that when I don't love myself, it's impossible for me to love others, and it's impossible for me to love God. Hear me tonight. When I don't love myself, it's really hard for me to love people around me, and it's really hard for me to love God. Amen? Amen. Did you know that it is a biblical principle for you to love yourself? Listen, if I want to fulfill the two greatest commandments in the Bible, man, that all the law is summed up in, then guess what? I have to love me. I have to love who God made me. It's that, man, I got to look in the mirror and I got to like what I see. That rhymed. Rap album's dropping next week. Me and Pastor Rob have been working on it. So, anyways. So, what does love mean? What does the word love mean? Love means to take pleasure in a thing or to have a preference for. Now, catch this. Do you take pleasure in yourself? Do you take pleasure in the way you look? Do you take pleasure in your personality? Some of y'all are like, man, I got a great personality. Come on. And actually, I love the second part of this to have a preference for. Is that because this, to me, it cuts out comparison. Because so many of us are guilty of comparing ourselves to those around us, right? Like I just said, as we say, man, I wish I looked like them. Man, I wish I had what they had. Man, I wish I had their personality. Man, if I was only like them. No, God wants me to prefer me. God wants me to prefer how he made me to be. Why? Because, listen, catch this to the night. In Genesis chapter 1, God says this, I'm making mankind in my image and in my likeness. You're called to be an image bearer. I mean, you're called to be an image bearer. And listen, and you are an original design, so don't die a copy. But listen, only you can reflect a certain side of God. No one else can reflect God on the earth like you can. Hear me, no one else can reflect God like you can. It's that you were born of an original breath. You were born of an original breath. Guess what? It's that you weren't called to be like them. You weren't called to have the same personality as them. You weren't called to look like them. Why? Because God said, man, I'm making them them. And they're going to reflect me in a unique way that no one else in the earth can. That no one else can. Amen? Now, when I say love yourself, I have to clarify this. Maybe I should have wrote more about this. I'm just joking. But tonight, I'm not talking about this prideful, arrogant attitude. You know, that says, man, I'm so in love with myself that I'm the greatest thing that has ever lived. Man, is that I am God's gift to the world. Like, you are lucky to know me. You know what I mean? Like, all you little peasants are beneath me. Do you see how amazing I am? Serve me. Obviously tonight, that's not what we're talking about. Is that we're talking about liking and enjoying yourself because God does. I mean, we're talking about liking and enjoying yourself because God does. So it is impossible to love others and to love God until I first love myself. So until I have a correct view of me, I cannot have a correct view of those around me. Is that every relationship I have is filtered through how I see myself. Every relationship I have is filtered through how I see myself. Now hear me, is that a false view of me, right? A false image of me, a false prescription of me is rooted in a false prescription, a false view, you can even say a false lie of who God is. I mean, tonight is rooted in a false view of who God really is. See, if I were to ask you tonight, man, what is God like? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? If I says, man, like, who is God? If some kid walked up to you and was like, hey, man, tell me about your God, what would you describe him as? And I'm not asking about the cheesy Christian answers, right, man, that you've heard all your life in church. I'm asking, what does your heart truly believe? What does your heart truly believe? Is that who is God? You see, a man by A.W. Tozer, he said this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Read that again, because that's good. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. See, our view, our perception, our prescription of the creation is always based off of how we see the Creator. Our view of the creation is based off of how we see the Creator. See, the prescription, I mean, the lens that's really in the glasses of how we see life. I mean, of how I see myself, of how I see those around me, is really how I see God. It's really, man, it's how I see God. In fact, Matthew 25, verse 24, there's this really awesome story about this. It says this. It says, let me set up some background. I'm sorry. So how many of you guys have ever heard of the parable of the talents before? How many of you guys have never heard of the parable of the talents before? Wow, Jesus help me. All right, check this out. Right, so Jesus tells this parable where he comes and this master, he gives one servant 10 like talents, he gives another servant 5 talents, and he gives the last one 2 talents. And he says, I'm leaving. When I come back, I want you to have invested this money and to make a return on the money, right? And so eventually one day the master comes back, right? And he goes to the one who he gave the 10 talents, and this dude multiplied his money at the wazoo, and the master is like, bravo, good job. Then he goes to the one with the 5 and he does the same thing, and it's like, bravo, amazing job. But then he comes to the one that he gave 2 talents. 2 talents. And this is where we pick up the story. Then the servant, I'm sorry, it's one. And then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. I'm going to read that again because it's so good. Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Hear this. This is powerful, y'all. So because this man believed that his master was a harsh man, he hid what he was called to invest. He hid what he was called to invest. Notice this powerful transition of statements, right? Man, I knew you were a harsh man. So what? I was afraid I would lose your money. Is that, man, I knew you were a harsh man, so I believed that I wasn't good enough. Is that, man, I believed that I wasn't able. I believed that I wouldn't measure up. So what did I do? I hid. I hid. See, this man's actions, how he saw himself, was based off of how he saw his master. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? Yeah. See, he had an image of himself as not good enough, as someone who couldn't measure up, as someone who wasn't able. It was all rooted in a lie that he believed about his master. See, hear me tonight, is that every false prescription, every false view of God is just a lie about him that we have believed in our hearts. You know, and so tonight, man, I believe that there are some common false prescriptions about God that we believe that affects how we see ourselves. And the first prescription is this, is that a lot of us, some of us, maybe not a lot of us, some of us in this room might view God as a taskmaster, right? As a taskmaster. Right? And the truth is that when we view God as a taskmaster, it says to man that God only takes pleasure in those who do as much as they can for him. Is that people who have this lens think that God only loves them for the things that they do for him. Is that they believe really, honestly, that his love is conditional. It's an attitude that says, man, the more I do for God, the more that he loves me and the more that he approves of me. Is that this person thinks, or this person likes themselves as long as they perform for God. But when they don't perform, all of a sudden it's, man, I'm trash. Man, I'm not good enough. Man, I'll never measure up. Like, man, if this person misses a day of prayer, woo, buddy, they're in sin. Man, if they miss a church service, they're just, I mean, they beat themselves up all day long, right? Because they think that God is this taskmaster driving them to perfection, is that you got to do in order to please him. The next common misconception is that God is distant and that God is cold, right? Oh, man, I got glasses falling everywhere. That God is distant and that is cold, is that when I wear these glasses, these are really hard to see with, by the way. When I wear these glasses, man, it's almost like God is not concerned with my life at all. Man, that God is not concerned because God is a million miles away. And so if God is so far away, is that, man, is that why would he be concerned about my life? Is that why would God be concerned about the intricate details of my life? Why would he? Because he's so far away. Is that God is distant and that God is cold. And the truth is, yeah, I mean, I believe God made me, but I don't really believe he cares about me. I don't really believe he cares about me. And so when I go and I look in the mirror, is that I see myself through this filter, through these lenses that I'm wearing. The next one, oh my goodness, this is such a huge one, y'all, is that, man, is that God is an angry God. God is an angry God. Is that, man, this is a lie that says, man, that God is waiting to punish me for every single thing I do wrong. It's like God is in heaven and he's just waiting to strike me down because he's an angry God. Is that, man, I can't. It's almost like there's this thing where it's like you imagine God with like this giant white beard with this like lightning bolt or with a stick in his hand. Like, and God is just waiting to get you. He's just waiting to get you. Why? Because he's this mean, angry God. And usually people who view God as an angry God, have you ever noticed that they're mean themselves? That they're mean themselves? Like when I meet a mean Christian, I go, man, you must think God is like that. Is that they're mean, they're angry, they're bitter, they're vile. Right? So all those things are bad prescriptions, right? I mean, so what is the right way to view God? Tonight, the first one is this, and I love this. I love it so much. Is this, man, guess what? Here's a right view. Here's a right lens. Here's a right prescription. That God is a good God. Come on, y'all. That God is a good God. Come on, you hear it, but do you really believe it? Tonight, check out these verses in Psalms 86, verse 5. It says this. It says, oh, Lord, you are so good. Love it. So good, right? So ready to forgive. So full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. James 1:17 says this. It says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, who created all the lights of heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Psalms 100 verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good. He is unfailing. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Do you know what the word good means? I love this. It means pleasant. It means happy. And it also means better. It means better. It means, man, that God is better than anything that you could think or imagine. Wow. Listen, God is better. God is, I don't know if this is even a word. God is gooder. I don't think that's a word. It's okay, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to take my preaching license and say it. Man, but God is gooder than you think he is. That's such bad English. I'm so sorry. He's better than you think. God is better than you think. And also this too, guys, God is in a good mood. God is in a good, I love that the verse says that he's happy. Like how many times do you view God as a happy God? Number two is this, and we're almost done here, is that, man, this is huge, y'all, is that God is a perfect father. God is a perfect father. Right, I love the story of Luke 15, where it talks about the son who wandered away from home, and he broke his father's heart. Then we all know the story, right? I mean, the son comes back home after he just wastes all of his money, after he gets his inheritance and wastes all of his money. And here's this father, man, waiting on the porch. And he sees his son come home. And the Bible says that the father runs. The father runs. You got to understand, in those days, a father never ran for anything, right? Because he was the dad. But this father in the story, which is a representation of God the Father, he runs to his son and he gives him the biggest, most giant bear hug that you can imagine. And he says, son, you're home now. Son, you're home now. Listen, God is not like your natural father. Listen, if we can be honest, some of us have bums for natural dads. If we can be honest. But God's not him. God's not him, y'all. And lastly is this, is that one of my favorite ones as well, is that God is love. I mean, that God's a loving God, right? We hear this in church all the time, and it's in our heads, man. Some of y'all can quote me scriptures on the fact that God is a loving God, but has it dropped from here to here? Hear me, has it dropped from here to here? Because it can be in here all day, but until it drops into here, it's not going to change my life. You know, 1 John 4, chapter 8 through 10, it says this. It says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. For God is love. Listen, God just doesn't have love. God is love. It's his very nature. Man, is it all these things that God is good, man, that God is a loving God, man, that God's a perfect father, is that this is his character and this is his nature. These are things that God will never stop being. He'll never stop being. And so God showed how much he loves us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So tonight, my question for you is that, man, what glasses do you have on? What glasses do you have on, man? What lies are you believing about God? You know, for the longest time, man, I was a kid who was passionate in church and who loved God or whatever, but I just had the hardest time wrapping my head around the fact that God was a loving God. It's really because I viewed God as a taskmaster. And man, I worshiped and I read my word on a daily basis, y'all, but it was so hard for me to say, man, God loves me. Like I remember God asking me to say that about him, and I was like, God, I just can't say it. Why? Because I didn't believe it in my heart. Now, I could tell you scriptures about it all day long, but it wasn't in my heart. So what glasses are you wearing? I mean, is that what do you really believe about God? Because tonight, I believe that God is wanting to show you who he really is, meaning that God is wanting to give you a new prescription. I believe tonight that God is wanting to give you a new prescription. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, maybe tonight one of those things that I mentioned, man, it really struck home. It really struck home. You said, man, Pastor Josh, yeah, that's how I view God. That's how I view God, man, is that that's how I see God. But tonight is that you want a new prescription. Is that, man, is that you want to see God as good. Not just mentally, ascribing to certain facts, but man, you want to experience the goodness of God. Is that, man, you want to experience the love of God. Is that you want to experience God as a perfect father. Is that you want to experience him as that perfect father. Tonight is that you need a new prescription. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hands up in the air. 1, 2, 3. Is there anybody in this place? Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. If I can go ahead and have my leaders come on down front for me. Come on, who else? Who else? Who else? Maybe it's something tonight that I didn't even mention, but you know it's not a healthy view of God. It's not a right view of God. And tonight, man, you're ready for God to touch you. You're ready for God to change you. I want you to lift those hands nice and high in the air again. Come on, nice and high in the air again. Come on, with every head down and every eye closed. Nice and high in the air again. Some of y'all, that's awesome. So now what I want you to do, if you raise your hands, I want you to stand up in your seats and I want you to come down front and I want you to take it prayer. Come on, come down front. And get prayer. Guys with guys and girls with girls. You guys can stretch out. We can have some guys over here, y'all. So go ahead and stretch it out. Guys with guys and girls with girls. Come on, tonight, man, I believe that God is just going to give you a right prescription. A right prescription. And for everybody else in the room, with y'all's heads down and y'all's eyes closed, I don't want to let you leave this room tonight without giving you a chance to evaluate and just to see, man, where the state of your own soul is at. State of your own soul. Is that what is this whole thing called Christianity about, man? Is that this is about a relationship with God. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. Is that, man, this is about walking with God. Is that understand tonight that God is passionate. He's passionate about a relationship with you. Is that, man, the verse we just read, it said that God was so in love with you that he sent his only son to come and die for you. Is that why did God send his son to die for you? See, because me and you, the Bible says, we were born with this thing called sin in our veins, and it was separating us from God for an eternity, and it was damning us to hell. it was sending us to hell. But man, God came and he sent Jesus, man, to take our place. Because of that sin, we deserve death. But Jesus came and he took our place on that cross. On the cross. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. And he said these powerful words in the Bible. He said, anyone who believes in me, anyone who puts their trust in me, shall not perish, but shall inherit everlasting life. Is that, what's that everlasting life? It's a relationship with God. So tonight, man, if you've never been saved, or if you've prayed the prayer 1,000 times that we're about to pray, but you know in your heart that you're not right with God, but you want to get right with God, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hands. 1, 2, 3. Is there anybody in here? Thank you, I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Come on, tonight you say, man, I want to get right with God. Awesome. If all you guys back here could stand up for me. If all you guys could stand up for me, I'm sorry. Y'all, go ahead and stand up. I want everyone to pray this prayer after me. I want you to say, God, I thank you for sending Jesus to come and die for my sins. I believe that Jesus is your son and that on the third day, by your power, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. So right now, I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize I need Jesus in my life. So I ask for forgiveness of all of my sins, of living a life apart from you. And right now, I confess Jesus Christ as the Lord, as the Savior, as the Master of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen. Yeah, that's awesome, y'all. Woo! Now listen, as these guys get in prayer, you guys are dismissed.